The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
The Pac-12 has one final card to turn over. Literally could change whether the conference survives. Chuck Oliver Show on a Thursday. I use that phrase sometimes, pots and pans rattler. I don't believe I'm one of those folks. I just sounded like a pots and pans rattler. I don't believe I'm exaggerating at all. Appreciate everybody coming here for your college football conversation. I said the Pac-12 got one final card to turn over. It literally could change whether the conference survives. And I'm talking about the cards that George Kliavkoff, the entertainment exec, and he's a big wig, and he has not done. He showed up, he had twos and sevens, man. And he thought it was a little bit better, and then all of a sudden, the Big Ten with the candlestick in the conservatory, and all of a sudden all bets were off, and Washington and Oregon are next. That's what I believe. That's what I believe is going to happen. Now, I'm saying that's what I believe will be the outcome in a year and a half or 2 years, or at some point Oregon and Washington, they're done, they're gone. But there's a card to play, and it's a real one. And when I say the conference survives, if the trajectory of the Pac-12 is not altered soon and drastically, there could be a Pacific Coast-based conference like there has been going back to like the 30s or 20s. You know, Jimi Hendrix was apparently a big Oregon fan. So you're still going to have a conference, but I've heard different. It could be a Smarty Pants conference, based with Cal and Stanford and other giant research places, or smaller research. Maybe Cal Davis gets in there. Isn't Cal Davis like a big engineering school? Dan, you don't help me.
Not up on the engineering rankings. I apologize.
Thank you. So I've heard all kinds of things. It'll survive. Do you know what you can turn on the TV and watch today? The Big East Conference. You know what someone like Dan or David or someone, if you're younger than like 40, you have no concept of. The Big East, it was blood sport in basketball season. 1985, the Final Four. How many teams are in the Final Four? Four. Three were from the Big East. St. John's, Memphis, Villanova, Georgetown. You looked up and you're like, one of these things is not like the others. And then two from the Big East advanced to the title game, Villanova and Georgetown. The Big East, it was a monster. So was the Southwest Conference in football. You can get yourself right out of existence with a series of bad choices or outcomes even. The Southwest Conference, that was some bad choices. The Big East was sort of bad choices, but also bad outcomes that suddenly other conferences said, hey, let's build football super conferences. So the Big East, you can still turn on your TV and see Big East competition. It's not the Big East. It's just not. You can turn on your TV and watch the USFL. It's not the USFL. It's the same names. It's the same jerseys. I look at the side of the helmet. I see it's red, and I see those five stars. Well, that's a five-star general. It looks the same. They call it the same thing. I assume, Dan, check this. I assume if we look at Herschel Walker's best season with the New Jersey Generals, I bet he ran for 2,000 yards. If a New Jersey General running back runs for like a yard more, I assume he has the franchise record. They're telling you it's the exact same thing. It's not the same thing. See what I'm saying here? The Pac-12 or the Pac-10 or the Pac-8 or the Pac-whatever. There is going to be a conference where there are... I read y'all that I was direct messaging on Twitter with a buddy of mine who's a Cal Berkeley grad. And he loves football. He loves all their sports, but he also has a very accurate understanding. And the way he chose to phrase it to sort of reflect the gen pop opinion in Berkeley was they're a lot more concerned with being a research institute than winning sports games. So there's going to be something where they play sports games. And it's under this banner. Just like right now, there's something under the banner of the USFL. Do you know the USFL the first time around? Did you know this? They played three seasons. Do you know what happened all three of those seasons? They signed the Heisman Trophy winner. Not the NFL. United States Football League. Heisman, Heisman, Heisman. That's not what the USFL is today. Even though you can turn it on and you say, I see someone running around in a Philadelphia Stars uniform and that other person has on a whatever, a Tampa Bay Bandits. It's bandit ball. It's not bandit ball. I don't see Tremaine out there. So there will be something under the banner or maybe even the licensing of. And that's all, the license. I think, in fact, the Big East, I think they did license their name. That's all it was. There will be something that happens. But the one final card to turn over to maybe prevent all of this fragmentation. The Pac-12 could have the best collection, and I mean by a sight, best collection of quarterbacks in the game in 2023. And if there is anything that can save a team season or improve its fortunes greatly, and on a large scale, because I'm about to go through some numbers, on a large scale, do that across the breadth of a conference? Yes, that can happen. The ACC, they are a have-not conference if you're talking in the Power Five. Now, when there's only five of some, it's tough sledding to say, and we have a hierarchy. We have a caste system. Really? Yes. Like there's a caste system in a country. How many people live in the country? 31 million. Okay. We have a caste system. How many are in Power Five? Five. Oh. Well, who's not in the ruling caste? Well, that'd be the ACC and the PAC whatever and potentially the big something, 12. We know the SEC and the Big Ten are in, but the Big 12, they're interesting because of what they could become. The ACC is a have-not. They're on the outside, man. They are. They have hostages, not volunteers. That's the truth. They have Michael Alford, grabbing the bars and just, like, shaking, like, running his coffee cup across the... Jailer! I want to see my lawyer. The AC, that's today. Do you know what the ACC was in 2018? I don't think this is a stretch. Dan, it's not a stretch. I think maybe the best conference in college football. Maybe. And do you know what that was based around? It was based around Bryce Perkins. Do y'all remember Bryce Perkins? I mean, it's been, 12 minutes, but do we remember Bryce Perkins? He's the quarterback at Virginia. Wait a minute, Chuck. You said that the ACC might have been. Best conference in the game, and if it's true, it was based around quarterbacks. Yeah, and that would be someone like Trevor Lawrence. Oh, Trevor Lawrence was fabulous. Trevor Lawrence threw 30 touchdowns and four picks, and there's so much more than just that, and that's an indicator. I don't know. You go 7.5 to 1. and 66%. And Ryan Finley was even better in a couple of ways. Eric Dungy, fabulous. Ryan Willis actually had a really good season. Daniel Jones, he was the sixth overall. So, Chuck, what are you talking about? Sam Hartman was in the conference. Anthony Brown, Kenny Pickett. Chuck, what are you talking about with all those names? How can you say that in 2018, if the ACC had the best quarterbacks in America, it was based around Bryce Perkins because Bryce Perkins was average that year in the ACC? I don't have to tell you what everybody else did to make the point. I can say Bryce Perkins was middle of the pack in the ACC. Well, how did he play? Started every game, completed 65% of his passes, 25 touchdowns, 9 picks. And he was average as grits. Not even good kind, with cheese or butter, or no salt, no, like right at grits. When Bryce Perkins does that, and by the way, Bryce Perkins, like, all right, take him out of the ACC. Hey, what's Bryce Perkins? I was like, he's really good. I remember waxing a bit. Come in on a Monday. My gosh, did y'all see Bryce Perkins? Bryce Perkins, all right, putting back in the context of against everybody else in the ACC. Hey, did you see Bryce Perkins? Yeah, he was okay compared to everyone else. Folks, if the Pac-12 has one final card, and by the way, whatever happens in 2023 is that final card. Understand, USC, UCLA, gone. The variable is what happens and maybe just how long until, but I think there's still a chance with UW and Oregon. So 2023, that is the card. It might be a four. It could be an ace. And I don't mean if this is a season that results in you being able to keep or extend for another 10 years, it's an ace. It's your quarterbacks. Michael Penix showed up from Indiana last year at UW and was unbelievable. I could give you the numbers, but you know, he was pushing 5,000 yards. And that's enough for me. He threw 554 passes. 554 passes. He got sacked 5 times. Do you know what that means? Michael Penix is one real slippery dude. Jaden DeLore at Arizona, who said, yeah, I'm coming back. Bo Nix. You know what Bo Nix did more than anything last year? Made Gus Malzahn look really bad. Bo Nix was unbelievable. I mean, running the ball, throwing it, being a leader, playing hurt, playing well hurt, all of that. Bo Nix, unbelievable. And I'm only talking about the guys coming back, so I'm not talking about the guy from UCLA who's now going to be in the NFL. Cameron Ward. Oh, this is just the beginning for Cameron Ward? Cam Rising is returning. Chuck, that can't be true. He's like 30. I understand that. But yes, Chris Wankie will be back for another. He's not that old. He'll be back for another year at Utah. Cam Rising, he should count against the on-field coaching limit. Do you know who I haven't mentioned yet? The Heisman Trophy winner. Folks, there are still others up and down in the final season of what can really make an impact to the future. Because if you win another Heisman, if you win a national championship, all of which an elite quarterback can do to an already good roster, folks, it is everybody out there with one final card. And I'm telling you, it really could secure the future of the conference.
Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, South College Football, Chuck Oliver Show. I was updated on my math. It's 9 states and 66. I didn't know. I've been saying 56, and they said 58. And then they said, no, it's 60. So I guess good for us. Thank you for the blessing. I appreciate that. I really do. Been doing this since the beginning of the 14 season, so thank y'all to everybody. Hugh Freeze is a grown man, okay? And Lord knows, I would say this about anybody. He's a grown man, he can defend himself. Lord knows he's done that already on a lot more important things than this. But I was listening to Auburn fans this past weekend, and there's so much speculation that the quarterback has never set foot inside Lee County, that the starting quarterback for 2023 is going through spring somewhere else. And one of the comments from an Auburn fan was, how could Hugh do that? And he's letting Robbie go through spring practice. I'm like, he tried to replace him in January in the portal. He would have gotten up a five. If he could have gotten Arch Manning, he would have been practicing Arch Manning right now. I was like, one thing I will say, Hugh Freeze has not misled anybody. So he continues to practice Robbie Ashford and whomever else there at quarterback, but there has been no misleading, I promise you. I want to welcome on right now. We'll talk about this, and I'll kind of think about college football. I want to start in Auburn with from CBS Sports, and I mean everything that entails, and you can hear him on the weekend, Sirius XM. It's Barrett Salee. Brother, how are you today?
I'm good, Chuck. Just getting through spring practice. You know, you mentioned Auburn. They're about halfway through. Alabama, Texas A&M starting this week, so a lot going on in the college football world.
Yes, and like I said, Hugh Freeze, he's well practiced at defending himself. He doesn't need me. But there is no misleading. I mean, it was pretty public, like, hi, I'm Hugh Freeze. I'd like to talk to all senior quarterbacks, especially one in Lexington. But none of that happened, so it is where it is. It would surprise me if he doesn't dip in the portal in May.
No, it wouldn't surprise me at all. You mentioned Lexington. There was also one in Conway, South Carolina, that he was pretty interested in well, and did not get him for no reasons of his own. Let's just put it that way. But, yeah, you know, I think he mentioned to me when I interviewed him a couple weeks ago that it's hard to evaluate Robbie Ashford just because he is so mobile and quarterbacks aren't live. And, you know, we've seen what he can do on the ground, but Hugh obviously wants to expand on that. You know, and TJ Finley has his injury issues as well, but I don't think there's any doubt that he is dancing in the portal, will continue to do that after spring practice. In fact, I think that's a big reason why Auburn is so far along with spring already, because, you know, let's not be naive here. Tampering is tampering. It happens. And so if he gets done, he can have a pretty good grasp of where Robbie, where TJ, where Holden are in terms of development, and then go from there. But you mentioned knowledge. Everybody knows what's up. You know, Robbie and TJ and Holden, they understand that Hugh was in the portal last window. Yeah, I think every quarterback on any roster knows that, has to know that. And if they don't, then they're kidding themselves. So, you know, is Auburn starting quarterback somewhere else? Maybe. I would go so far as to say probably. But as Hugh had said, and will, I think, continue to say, it's almost impossible to judge Robbie Ashford for who he is based on the fact that you can't see how he adjusts on the run with whatever passing, you know, installation is going in.
All right, Oxford, what's Lane doing? He's got three choices. None of the three are both proven and have played consistently. What's he doing? What's he want?
Oh, he's created Hunger Games. I think that's the first thing, which I think for coaches that dabble in the portal moving forward, that's going to be a big part of their plan. Not only recruiting, but preventative recruiting. You know, I want that guy, and even if I don't love that guy, I want to make sure that you don't have that guy. So I think right now, I think it's clear that he doesn't love Jackson Dart, that he only is in like with Jackson Dart. I think Spencer Sanders fits his system very well, and the experience that he has at Oklahoma State certainly is attractive. To me, I think Walker Howard is the interesting one because his upside is, I think, significantly higher than the other two. And I think Walker knows that. I think that was the selling point. So I think right now it's a lot of preventative recruiting. It's the fact that if you know, the two losers of that battle aren't going to play anywhere else this year. And to me, I think that's the most important aspect of why Lane went in the direction that he did. I'm just surprised that Spencer Sanders and Walker Howard and Jackson Dart, to an extent, went along with this.
Last thing, Barrett Salee. Let's go to Tuscaloosa. And the funny thing is, you know, sometimes I check myself. I'm like, Chuck, you know better than this. Experience at quarterback, man. At quarterback, it counts for so much. Jalen Milroe's entering his third season in the program. And I'm like, doesn't matter, Ty Simpson. Tell me what you believe.
Doesn't matter, Ty Simpson. I'm with you as well. Third year in the system, first year under Tommy Reese. Yeah. And I think there's such a big difference between Tommy Reese and Bill O'Brien. You know, I don't think folks realize Alabama finished, I think, fourth in the country in yards per carry. They finished 111th in rushing attempts and blew a lot of teams out, which, yeah. I mean, is such a stark contrast to what actually Alabama is or should be anyway. Tommy Reese runs the ball, he takes off the top. That's what Alabama, I think, should be. I think Nick made an error in judgment putting too much on Bryce Young and really putting too much on Mac Jones, even though they won a national championship with him. It sort of went in the wrong direction. I don't care how Jalen Milroe plays in practice. I don't care how Ty Simpson plays in practice. It's Tommy Reese's system. And one of those guys is going to know what the system looks like and how it doesn't fit him by the end of April. And there's your quarterback decision. It's, you know, these guys aren't idiots. They are going to look at the system, understand how they fit, and there's your decision. You know, even if there is no decision made until Labor Day weekend,
yeah.
You know, they're going to know right now.
What is your radio schedule?
every Sunday morning. And whenever else they need me, but every Sunday morning on Sirius XM, a lot of hoops right now,
yeah.
Which, you know, I fake it until I make it. I do know hoops, but not as well as football. So, we do try to mix some football in, whenever we can on College Sports Sunday.
Yeah. Sunday mornings on Sirius XM, is it 75? Am I remembering that correctly?
It is, 8 or 9 to noon every Sunday morning and been doing it for 6 years.
Okay. Now. And so it's every Sunday except for when I'm on, because the past two Sundays when I've been on with other people. So at some point.
Okay.
And we got to run. I apologize. I didn't mean to lead you down that road. I was just going to bust your chops before I let you out. So anyway, promise me I'll be on with you again on Sirius XM soon, right?
Yes. Bye, Chuck.
Bye, Barrett. Again, so Sirius XM, it's College Sports, which I think is Sirius XM. Is that? No, Elvis is on 75 now. Sometimes with Barrett's Lee.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit jimellis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
I would love for spring practice to reach conclusions for head coaches that would allow them to get a depth chart, and I mean, like, have it carved in gold. and then they etch their name into it, and it doesn't change. And we know, you know, beginning April 15th, all right, well, this is how it's going to look week one. The best I can have is, all right, how does the quarterback kind of look if it's a new kid? If he's a returning guy, and I already have seen him perform consistently on the field, I just want him to be healthy. But beyond the quarterback position, that's where I go for almost everybody. I want you to see healthy. And because there's no game in spring, a lot of times you'll see kids, well, he could play, but it's spring, so we're going to hold him out, particularly like a running back, for instance. That ain't what I heard about one of my favorite players, and that was a transfer in last year. They brought in, I think, 4 wide receivers. But Micah Pittman is going to be out for more than a minute. And we're going to talk about that and all kinds of things because it is, quote, just spring practice, and what I want more than anything is health. But there can be some bigger stories. I want to welcome on now from Knowles 247, Chris Knee. Chris, how you doing, brother?
Good, Chuck. How are you, man?
Doing all right. I'm supposed to ask about how's the quarterback look, but that's Jordan Travis, and so I'm encouraged. I feel I know how he'll look in week one. And so, all right, well, let's move beyond that. How's the health? Let's talk about Micah Pittman, because this doesn't strike me as it's just a normal thing. We're going to hold him out of contact. This is like a bigger picture thing?
Yeah, it was a labrum issue in the hip. He had to have surgery. He said on his vlog, I think 4 to 6 months is the expectation for him.
Gosh.
So the lower part of that window means basically getting back around preseason. The top part of that window means at best getting back around middle of the season. So, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. Our approach has kind of been, obviously, the hope is the kid's able to return and contribute. Obviously, a very good punt returner for them in addition to being a solid receiver. But I think they are approaching it that we have to know what our solutions are at those two positions if he is unavailable.
All right, well, let's go back to what the assumption is, because Jordan Travis, every quarterback can get better, but his getting better, a lot of it happened last year. I feel I'm not a Florida State fan, and so I can kind of look at this objectively. Him standing in the pocket, and it's a play where he's supposed to read 3 routes and deliver it downfield, I feel kind of comfortable about that now. Tell me where you think he actually is, because you watch every snap.
I mean, last year he ascended a great deal. There's no doubt about that. He became a much more complete quarterback, a better passer. He's also become much better at protecting himself. That's probably been one of the knocks on him in his career, is the ability to stay healthy throughout a season. I feel like what he's done since the Oklahoma game and the Cheez-It Bowl wrapped up to today, 4 or 5 spring practices in, is he's just trying to be exactly the same every single day in the sense of competing against himself, competing at a high level, elevating the team, also passing along knowledge to the other 3 scholarship quarterbacks in that room who will battle out to replace him after he departs this year, after the season. He's been outstanding. He's a kid that kind of lives with a permanent chip on his shoulder, but not in a bad way. It's motivated him to turn himself into the player he's become. And he definitely feels like a guy who is fully primed to handle the expectations of being a guy that's going to be in the Heisman discussion, at least going into the season. Man, and I think he's comfortable with that.
Man, it should be. Absolutely. That's not any sort of outlandish statement. It's not the kind of thing where, you know, like somebody in the media just opens up the big envelope one day and it's like a Jordan Travis mouse pad. And you're like, no, he's not winning the Heisman. Why'd you send me this? You know, that stuff shows up every year. This is a legit one. Continuing, Chris Knee, 247. Last year, as I said, Pittman was there, and I think it was Wilson. And I think it was 4 receivers that came in. Jaheim Bell is kind of the one this year, and that is just a really athletic kid there that folks are kind of excited about, right?
Yeah, Swiss Army knife at the tight end position. What they did with receiver last year, where they elevated it with the transfer portal, especially with a guy like Johnny Wilson, they've went and done that with tight end position. Jaheim Bell, also Kyle Morlock, who came from a lower-level school, but a very productive kid, a kid that Tennessee, Notre Dame, LSU, FSU all wanted. FSU got him in the end. Those 2 guys are going to take that tight end room and turn it into something more. Mike Norvell's history at Memphis shows he likes the tight end room. He wants to use it. He wants to use it in a variety of ways. I think he now has the tools and the weapons to go about doing that. And that was one piece of the offense last year, that and probably O-line depth, where they still need to take a step forward. And in both of those circumstances, they did via the portal this offseason.
All right. I don't even think I've been in the same room with Hakeem Williams. I will say, though, I've watched him online, and that's a big, good-looking receiver. If you tell me there's a 6'3", 5-star receiver from Fort Lauderdale, I'm like, I'm in, sight unseen. Does he have a role?
This year, I think, will be a little bit of a work in progress for him. It's a pretty big step up from the high school that he played at in the sense of how competitive, how much it prepped guys for college to this level. So I think there will be an adjustment period for Hakeem. But the truth with Hakeem is he is ultra-talented. The most impressive thing about him is after he gets the ball in his hands, he runs like a running back working down the field. It's kind of wild to watch his film and see how he navigates down the field for yards after the catch. I think he will have a role. I just think they have talented enough outside receivers that he's not necessarily going to be forced into having to have a role. But in games where they potentially have the ability to empty the bench, I think he'll start chipping away, getting the reps, feeling a little bit more comfortable at it. I think he's a 1 to 2 year guy who's going to have a major breakout probably in year two, maybe year three at the latest, but probably year two for him.
All right, I'm just asking about some of the kids who are already there. So they're true freshmen, and maybe all of them. Maybe Mike Norvell's like Jimbo. He hates freshmen. But Vandrevious Jacobs from Dodgertown, is there a role for him maybe?
Yes, especially with Pittman being hurt. The slot's a little bit more of an open competition. You got guys like Ja'Kai Douglas who have done a good job here. Winston Wright is coming back after the car accident last year that took away his first season at FSU. So they'll be in the mix too. But Vandrevious Jacobs has been outstanding in practices so far. Ultra-competitive kid, comes out of a super productive system there at Vero Beach. He competes. That's the best word I can use to describe him. When the ball is in the air, he wants to go and get it. It doesn't matter if it's a good ball, bad ball, if it's vertical, if it's short, it doesn't matter. Kid's going to go after it. He's going to try to get it in his hands. He's going to do something with it. I think he will find a role for himself because of the fact of how he practices so well, so consistently, already out of gate as a true freshman.
Last thing, Chris, Nate, 247, Lamont Green. Somebody said he's got a shot, and I looked at him. I was like, well, he's about 230. He's a good-sized kid. They said it's the get-off, that he's really super athletic, all these other things. Well, what do you think about Lamont Green Jr.?
I don't think he's a freshman contributor in the grand scheme of it. They have 4 to 5 DNs who are true DNs that they can rely upon, led by obviously Jared Verse and then Patrick Payton, ACC freshman of the year last year. But Gilbert Edmond, who transferred in here from South Carolina, is another guy who I think is going to help him. Byron Turner's another one. And then Derek McClendon, who may or may not be on the roster. He's kind of going through a situation right now where he's making a decision on his future. If he is here, he's a guy that's contributed, played about 40 games in his career here. So I think the line, the queue at the position is a little bit too deep for Lamont to probably make a big dent. But he is a kid that will definitely help him long term. You know, he's a legacy. His dad was USA Today Defensive Player of the Year out of high school about 27 years ago. I think it was 96. And dad's poured a lot into kid, and kid has definitely taken to it. So I do think he'll be somebody that helps him long term, just not year one.
Fantastic stuff. Follow him. CNE 247 on Twitter. Thank you, amigo.
Take it easy, Chuck.
Yes, sir. Chris Knee, Knowles 247. That's where you want to be, isn't it? And I'm going to go back and look. I'm going to put my eyes on his dimensions specifically. Lamont Green Jr. Played his high school ball. Get out of Miami and private school. It's different. We just see, he's a 4-star out of Miami. 6'3 and a half, 228 pounds, and described as uber athletic. And again, my buddy is like, man, the get off for him. I was like, he's a nice size kid and he's only 18. He'll add weight. He's like, he's a bendy sort of guy. He can be. So I like that, by the way. Bendy. You know what you want with a cornerback? Oily. You want to be oily. You know what you want with a defensive end? You want to be bendy. If you can get even with the outside hip of that tackle and you're bendy, you get right around him, man, and it's over. It's over. It's over. It's over. It's over at that point. So that could be Lamont Green. But as he said, Jared Verse comes back, and that's somebody good to hang around for another year, Jared Verse. And the rest of them, if they're all eligible in there. So that's what's going on. We're going to break. Come back, wrap up hour one next.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Trying to put him in as many game-like situations as possible. You know, third down, red zone, But to be honest with you, you really don't know until you get into a game. You don't. You know, I was talking to CJ about it out there. He was at practice. And, you know, that first Minnesota game, you know, what that was like and the ups and downs of that one. And a big part of it is getting your confidence.
Ryan Day, Buckeyes head coach, and he's talking about Kyle McCord and Devin Brown. How to talk about Kyle McCord and Devin Brown without saying Kyle McCord and Devin Brown. He mentioned CJ was out there, Stroud, who is going to be the first overall, and Bryce Young. It's going to be the first overall pick. It's going to be a quarterback. It's not going to be anybody else. So he didn't trade up for some other than a quarterback. Not that bounty. And Bryce Young, here's just the bottom line, folks. He little. And I don't mean just short. I mean, he's a slight frame kid. And boy, is he a magician with a football in his hands. He's smart and anticipatory. There's a word like Gary Danielson would describe that better, but it's anticipatory. He is. He sees it. He has vision of what is going to be there, and man, it's there. And he had a lot more put on him last year than I was certainly expecting. From a leadership standpoint, from the day he stepped on, wasn't his first game that Miami thing in Atlanta? And when De'Aaron got re-hurt? Wasn't that, yeah, that was his debut starting because David Shaw was saying he's not worth $1 million. And he started against Miami, and they were like, yeah, that's right, he's worth a lot more than $1 million now. So that was Bryce. But here's the, he's little. Not short. I'm saying I can't have him get cracked like an egg. In the NFL, let me pick somebody. I don't know, Dan, you and Dave, y'all watch NFL football. You know Josh Sweat with the Eagles? I literally just spun the wheel and let Josh Sweat. You know what Josh Sweat is? I bet he's 6'5", 270. You know, monster. Do you know what Myles Garrett is? Myles Garrett is a monster. Do you know what Bryce Young is? He's a really, the 14 great things about a quarterback. That doesn't change the physics of whatever. Is that velocity times weight, impact, rate of whatever? You don't change that at all, man. And everybody's got pads on, I know. Absolutely cave in the side of your body. So that is the divider there. They're trading up, and that's CJ, and he's going to be the first overall pick, and then the draft starts with the Texans at 2. I don't know how somebody is a Texans fan because they've had, like, 1-1s and 2 overalls and 3 overalls, and they've actually made some correct picks at time, and they have never been able to build any sort of consistency. And, I mean, they've got a city full – like, the NFL went back there for a reason. And they just, but the draft starts with them this year. And the Deshaun trade actually kind of, I mean, you talk about up to that point, a franchise that had literally done, like, not even what, like, normal, respectful humans had done, much less make good football decisions. Beginning with the day they traded Deshaun to Cleveland, they started improving some. And so the draft starts with them. Maybe it's Bryce Young there. Maybe it's not. I'd look at Will Anderson and go, okay, I'll take Will Anderson. I'll take that Alabama player. So, and then Arizona is a, you know, unfold from there. Who needs a quarterback or who would trade up? Arizona doesn't need a quarterback, so we'll trade up and it'll be cheaper to trade there. Maybe. Bryce Young is already, he's paying his bills. He's squared away. It's going to be even more so. Like, I think the worst case scenario is somebody, like, they trade up to Seattle at 5. The absolute free fall. What happened to Bryce? Don't show him in the green room. He may be crying. Dan, were you watching the draft when they kept showing Brady Quinn in the green room?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. I'm not a Notre Dame fan, and I was like, stop showing Brady Quinn in the green room. It's awful. Brady Quinn, there was speculation that he would go to the Browns with, like, I don't know, the 3rd overall pick or something. He was there 3rd overall, 2nd round. He was there 4 round later. And Cleveland's like, really? So it was awful. In the realm of, I started at quarterback at Notre Dame for 3 years, and now I'm in the NFL. Awful. A against the backdrop of what it was supposed to be. But I don't want to see it, man. As great a career as you've had. And do you know what that free fall for Bryce? Like five. So CJ was at practice. That's CJ Stroud. And Ryan Day is sifting through his two real choices this spring. I've been talking a lot of Florida State today. There is a former Florida State, Anthony Grant, that Florida State for 2 years, played as a true freshman, returned a bunch of kicks, played some on offense, and then he transferred out to Nebraska and led them in rushing. So he's talented. Now, I don't know if he is a Sunday guy or not. That's for him to figure it out. But he's been suspended now. And Matt Rhule said it's not anything bad. He says, and it'll be a day-to-day thing. He said, it's really about keeping Anthony walking in the right direction. Said, when we get Anthony right, and he said, academics, I am so glad. Do you know what? I was on partial scholarship at Auburn. Journalism. That was all. But it was the USA Today folks, Gannett. That's right, isn't it, Gannett? And so it was, like I say, it was a grant, basically. So I say partial scholarship. You know, you entered something and they say, and we award you money, but you have to be a journalism grad. And so that was a one-time thing, and so it just kind of happened. But the reason I say all of that, I was a journalism major. I wound up teaching English. I've written books. I've done all kinds of things. I can turn a phrase. I can type. I can write. I can edit. I can do all kinds of things. I failed freshman English. Like, freshman English 101. It was a 7 a.m. class, and I didn't know there was an attendance policy. And so I showed up like the first couple weeks. I was like, well, I got this. And so I was like, when's the test? I showed up for the test. And the instructor was like, why are you here? I was like, well, we got a test today. No, you've already had five absences. You failed. I was like, what? Excuse me? No, see, I'm a journalism major. I write for a living. I thought I was. So everybody can use a little staying on the rails academically. The reason I say all of that about me is I was a guy particularly bent towards writing and reading, and to the point where I wound up actually teaching the class that I failed. And it wasn't like, you know what I took later on at Auburn? I took a class called The Fairy Queen. It was an 1,800-page poem written in Gaelic. We spent an entire quarter reading one poem. Heck of a poem. I failed freshman English 101. So sometimes when you're not on the rails academically, sometimes you're dumb as a post. You're just one of those guys that ain't going to happen for. You're never going to set the world on fire. I hope your 40 time stays low for a long time. That's the truth. For some folks, when you need to keep it on the rails academically, it's a focus thing, or it's I didn't know. Like, literally, I didn't know. Sometimes that's what it is. Everybody, you've got to hiccup academically. Sometimes it's because you're challenged by the level of the subject matter. I got to say, when you're 18 or 19 or 20 and you have a moment where the number on the page says you were challenged academically, yeah, it might be that. It might be like 40 other things. And so we talk about these kids' academics all the time. And even Matt Rhule was like, yeah, academics. I was like, dang. So he said it's academics and a bunch of other little things. We're just trying to keep Anthony pointed straight. Dan, how was your... Did you fail a class in college, Dan?
No, I did not.
Good for you.
Dangerously close.
Good
but
for you.
You know, the weird thing is, though, is it's funny. Logan Booker, shout out, works for Sports Radio 960 in Athens, and he posted on Twitter the other day that he keeps having the same dream where there's a final for a course, and he had no idea about it. He's not prepared for it, anything. He wakes up in just a frantic panic. And I said, oh, my God, I run into that. And it's kind of what you just talked about right there. There's a class that I had no idea that I was enrolled in.
Ugh.
And then it's a buddy of mine that's like, dude, why haven't you been in, you know, U.S. history, whatever? And I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't have it on my schedule. And then I look down at my schedule and I'm like, oh, my God.
Matthews.
And then I realize, yep, it's
Matthews.
That's it. Finally, then the drop fail is turned into the registrar and there's nothing you can do at that point.
You know what the drop fail is that Dan just referred to? The drop fail is they say, no, we don't want you to even come back and sit in the chair the rest of the quarter, yep, or semester. Like, you're off the roll with an F already.
You are so far behind, we are not even going to try.
You're on the pay no mind list.
So Mario Cristobal talked with the media a little bit earlier today after Miami spring practice. And Chuck, I really just started watching it, listening to it, and I said, that's an NFL coach talking. And what I mean by that is NFL coaches, you know, after they get done with an OTA practice or a mini camp practice, anything like that, sometimes a personnel question will come up, and he pretty much just flat out said, oh yeah, this spring we're going to be looking for a scholarship running back or quarterback and or either of those things. And it's one of the things that I talked about before where people have pointed out and they have said, you know, GMs are coming to college football, said GMs are already there. Personnel departments are already coming. No, personnel departments have been there for the better part of the last couple of years, especially with the transfer portal being what it is. So far to the point where even head coaches are starting to talk like NFL head coaches. Hey, coach, you know, your running back situation, how you feeling about it? You know, we're feeling pretty good, but, you know, I think even after the draft, we're going to be looking for some veteran options before we get to camp here in August. That's the way that these coaches are talking now. And if people are talking about, do we want free agency? Do we want all of this? Well, guess what? Do you want to coach in the NFL? Because you're pretty much already doing it already.
I believe it was a wonderful first hour of conversation here, included a reference to Herschel Walker. Dan found out that Herschel, in his most prosperous, productive USFL year,
24-11.
Okay, so a modern day USFL running back would have to go for 24-12. So no, it's the same thing, same jersey, same helmet. It looks the same. Maybe even wear his number.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.